You're listening to Boards and Swords, episode number 29. That's right, this is Boards and Swords. This is a podcast where I explore the world of tabletop gaming and I share my experiences in it. Hey guys, how's it going? Right off at the top of the show, I'm going to send a shout out to anyone that's joining us for the first time. Thanks to the crew at MTGU. Just a big heads out to them. They gave a shout out to me on their episode that I watched live for one of the first times. I caught the whole episode live. And I know they gave a shout out to the show, so I just want to return the shout out back to them and say hello to anyone that's listening to the first time for that. But outside of that, let's start things off the way we usually do and start talking about what board games have I been playing. Well, first off, I finally finished a game of Eldritch Horror. We had some free time on a Sunday afternoon, so Chloe and I went to the board game store. We worked on our magic deck a little bit, and while I was there, I brought, because we weren't constrained by just the 2 hours that we usually have on our Monday night board game nights, I brought Eldritch Horror with us. I was like, hey, maybe we'll get a chance to actually finish it. And we did. So it was just Chloe and I, so just two of us. And we went through the whole game. It was kind of funny because I asked her what person we should pick. And so I read off all the different great old ones. And she's like, I kind of feel like we should do Cthulhu. And I was like, that's my girl. So we picked Cthulhu. We went through it. Probably because it was the only name that she recognized out of the bunch. We went through, we played it, and I really enjoy the game. I'm going to talk about this later because this is actually our feature game for this week. But I really enjoyed Eldritch Horror. It sucks we lost. We finished it, but we lost. But I had a really fun time. I think Chloe had a fun time because she was actually able to start understanding some of the mechanics. But now we will head on into talking about Rampage. That was one of our normal Monday night gaming things as we played Rampage. But this time it was different in that normally we play on these very rickety kind of tables. And so one bump and everything goes flying and it's not really that great. But this time around, since we last had played, the board game store set up this nice stand-up table that's this big wooden sturdy thing that they've been using for Warhammer events and Warhammer 40K events. And so somebody was like, when they saw I had Rampage, they're like, we should play on that because that thing's pretty sturdy. And I was like, that sounds like a great idea. So we set it up. We played Rampage. And sure enough, the table was very well situated for that game. I mean, it was up high, so Chloe had a little bit hard time reaching stuff, and it might have been a little awkward because all of a sudden you're supposed to do hold for dropping. You're supposed to hold an arm out, but arm out is like right above the thing, so we had to kind of like estimate where arm height should be. And we had a great time. I ended up winning, probably because I just strategized a little bit better on picking my meeples, but I had a fun time. Everybody else had a fun time. It was really great playing it on the thing, although they have this really like non-stick stuff on the table, which I guess kind of helps in that regard. But it kind of hurt when you'd have your arms resting on the table. That was definitely something. I don't know what I was going to say there. It was definitely one minor thing, but I was able to get over it. And lastly, in the games I've played, is I just got sent a whole box of review stuff from Steve Jackson Games. So I opened it up. There's a lot of cool stuff in there. I can't wait. I haven't even really played. Scratched the surface of the stuff that's in there to play. But I was excited about one game in particular because this is a game I actually almost bought in the store myself. And that is Munchkin Treasure Hunt. This game kind of came out of nowhere. They just one Tuesday said, by the way, here's this new game, Munchkin Treasure Hunt. Oh, by the way, it's in stores today. It's an exclusive game. You can only get it at Toys R Us, I believe. I don't know for certain if you can get it off their website, but I think you or Toys R Us website or Steve Jackson's website, but I know you can get it or you're supposed to be able to get it. It's an exclusive to Toys R Us. And this is not your standard Munchkin game. So what this game is it's targeted to, it's an easier kind of game, where it's not so much a card game and it's more of a roll and move board game. So there's a board, everyone has a little stand up, and you roll dice, you move, and the point of the game is to battle monsters and gain treasures, kind of like Munchkin, but not in the same way, except as in you're not like equipping your guy, you're just rolling in other words, to figure out your power, you roll a die and add one or two cards that you have in front of you, as opposed to adding up everything and your level and all this. So it's a lot simplified in that regard. It's designed to be for younger kids as an entry point into the Munchkin world. It's ages 6+, but I played it with my wife and Chloe, and Chloe and I also played against some people at board game night. And these are probably people in their 20s and 30s, and they enjoyed it as well. So it's not a kiddie game. It is just something different. If you're a fan of Munchkin, it is that same type of humor and atmosphere, but in a lot simpler, a lot lighter game. It's very quick. You can play it in about 30 minutes. Very easy. I will probably do a full-on review of it sometime soon. But that is Munchkin Treasure Hunt. I believe it's only like $30. So I definitely recommend you go get it if you are kind of person that's into Munchkin. You're probably going to enjoy this game. And the last thing I want to mention is I have not played any more Netrunner, but my wins in Netrunner led me to try something, because I've been seeing just all my cards are just all thrown about, and they're all disorganized and in bags and in stuff. They're just kind of all thrown about in the box because I threw away the insert because it was not doing me any favors. And so it'd been really bugging me that I had no organization system in the box. And I like the Fantasy Flight box, like the big, huge box, like everything can fit in there and slide on the shelf. I've got a couple of card organizers that I've used for Magic that used to hold Magic cards, and then they're now not holding anything. So I could have used that, but I really like keeping everything in one location in that box, and I really enjoyed that. So I wanted to keep that in there. And so I've been reading some stuff online about foam core inserts. And so foam core is that plastic poster board, or the foam poster board. It's got like paper on both sides and foam in the middle. You see it at craft stores or at Walmart. I've been seeing a lot of stuff about people making custom inserts using that. And I was like, huh, I could do that. So I managed to find a pattern or a template online, print it out, cut out the templates, and then bought some foam core and tried it out. Now, I will say, it was a learning curve, because at first I could not find any of my X-Acto blades or my utility blade. So I tried using my wife's rotary cutter, and that did not work well at all. I couldn't get any of the detailed stuff. The lines just did not come out right. It was just not the greatest. So I ended up chunking the one piece I cut that. Then I found my X-Acto knife, and I started working on it with there. And even then, it wasn't completely the greatest. I was cutting at an angle. I was having issues. I wasn't being smart and using a ruler, so the lines weren't necessarily straight. So I finally got everything I should have, you know, a cutting board, a ruler, all that. Pull out my utility blade, which I found out was really good for cutting the outside objects, but the X-Acto blade definitely came in handy for cutting some of the tinier details. Assembled it all together, put it in the box, and it fit together pretty well. I didn't even have to glue it. I did not glue this one at all, because I had made the interlocking holes small enough that they fit snug, and it was just tight enough that it fit in the box snug, so it was not moving around in there at all. And it looks really awesome. I mean, it definitely shows that I'm a beginner at this. Some of the foams cut really weird, but it put together really well. It looks really awesome. The cards stay there and in it very well. One problem I had was one of the runner factions I didn't have a lot of cards of. It just kind of fell down and then slid down the side of the box and the insert. That's not so much the insert's problem as it is just there wasn't a whole lot of cards to hold them up in there. Like I was going to put like a little foam block in there just as a spacer, but I ended up getting more of that faction when I opened up the recent pack and I got the Honor and Profit. So ended up all working out anyways. I think also if I was to remake it, I would probably put like a bottom on it. Like instead of just having just the insert for the walls, put a floor in it that would seal so that all the walls would see it would be glued. And this I would actually glue, is so that way all the walls were actually glued to the floor, and then you wouldn't have to worry about that card sliding in between the sections. So may do that, may not. I do like the way it turned out. I think it's awesome. It looks really cool. I'm to take this experience now and apply it to a couple other games. Like playing Eldritch Horror kind of infuriated me in the point that it just takes so long to sort through all the pieces. I just have pieces in a couple of bags thrown in the box. It's not done very well. And the cards are just kind of all over the place and the monsters. And it just takes me 30 minutes just to organize everything so I can set up the game and sort through all the decks and shuffle everything. There's got to be a better way. And I think a foam core insert for Eldritch Horror is next, because I think it'll really help. I've seen some pictures online, and this one I'll have to design myself because I haven't seen a template for them, because a lot of people are doing it differently. But I definitely want to make it won't be a insert as much as a tray, to where I can put like all the cards in one section and just pull that out and shuffle them and slide them back in the holes, and then just play straight out of that tray. And that way, everything, I could keep all the other stuff in the box until I need them for setting up the game, or, you know, keep all the life and life and sanity tokens in there and just keep them in the box, and I could just pick them out. And I think it will make organization-wise so much better. And speaking of that, let's go ahead and talk about Eldritch Horror. Now, this is our board game breakdown. It's Eldritch Horror. It's by Fantasy Flight Games. It's set in the same universe as Arkham Horror and Elder Sign. The whole game was marketed as a easier Eldritch Horror, which it's not as complex. I wouldn't say it's easier. It's not as complex. It still takes forever, but it's definitely, in my opinion, better than Arkham Horror and the limited Arkham Horror plays I've had. If you like Arkham Horror, you're probably going to like Eldritch Horror. Unless you like some of the complexity, then I guess you wouldn't like it. But in this game, you're investigators that are traveling throughout the globe. Unlike Arkham Horror was situated just a town, this is your world. You're traveling amongst the world trying to keep an ancient one from arising. So you pick out, when you set up the game, everyone picks a different investigator, which they have different spell or different abilities and different equipment. You pick an old one that's gonna attack, or that's coming about. That's for instance, I've played against Azathoth and Cthulhu mainly. So you pick your old one. They give you custom cards, and you have a custom deck for that monster. So each game is specific to the old one that you're bringing about, in addition to the location-specific cards. And so what you do is you set up the board, and then the way the investigators win the game is by sealing the old one away. And the way you do that are these mystery cards, and you have to solve three of the four mystery cards in order to do it. So the way that will happen is a mystery card will get revealed at the beginning of the game, and it'll say something about the board, and it'll say how you complete that mystery. And when that's complete, the second one comes out, and when the third one comes out and you complete that, the game's over. So, how do you do that? So, everyone starts off in a location on the board, and they have there are three phases of the game. There's the action phase, there's the encounter phase, and then there's the mythos phase. So, everyone starts off. This is different. This is where Eldritch Horror is different than a lot of games, and that not everyone takes their turn, and then it's completely somebody else's turn. Everyone does all their turns in that phase, and then you move the mess of the phase, everyone does their turn. This threw off Chloe a lot, I will say this. So everyone does an action phase, then everyone does an encounter phase. So every time Chloe came about during the encounter phases, she'd always be like, oh, I'm going to move. I'm like, no, wrong phase. And finally, by the end of the game where we actually finished, or the game, most recent one, we had played a whole lot, she finally got it in her head, oh, okay, this time I'm doing moving, and this time I'm doing my encounter. Okay. So you start off with your action phase. In this phase, if you're in a city, you can try and get more items by making rolls to see if you can acquire goods and items and allies and weapons. That's how you can improve yourself there. If you're in a town, you can also prepare for travel by getting tickets, which allow you to move extra spaces on the boards. You can also rest anywhere on the board and gain back a health and a sanity. That's your stats here. or you can move. You can move one space, or if you've got tickets, then you can use them to move additional spaces. Or if you happen to be on the same space as somebody else, you can trade items you have with somebody else that's also on that space. So you get two actions. You can't do the same action twice, so you can't move and then move again. So you have to do two completely different actions, or at least two actions. And everyone goes around, so I take my two actions, you take your two actions, third person takes their two actions, it goes back to me. And then we start the encounter phase, which is, depending on where you are and the circumstances where you are, depends on what deck you pick an encounter out of. So if I'm in a city, a specific city, it's got a green border, I'm going to pick a card with a green border, and I'm going to read and go through it, and stuff's going to happen. And if I pass or fail it, it may affect the outcome of the game. If you're at a spot where there's a monster spawn, you have to fight that monster for your encounter. If you're at a spot where you're a gate, you can do a gate encounter card to try and seal up the gate so no monsters come out. Or if you're at some of the mystery cards, they'll have situations themselves that you have to do these encounters. And this is where the main story of the game comes in. Your investigator's looking through, he's investigating things, he's trying to solve these mysteries, stuff's happening. This is where the lore of the game really comes through. And then there's the third part of the phase, which is mainly read off by the lead investigator for that turn. That's the mythos phase. This is where the game bites back. And you reveal the card, and it tells you what happens. Does more monsters appear? Do more gates spawn? Does the doom track go down? Which, when the doom track goes to zero, is when the great old one awakens and stuff happens. So this card's going to tell you what's going wrong this turn. Like, for instance, we had two mythos cards that stayed on the field, and as they had tokens that chipped away, and once the tokens ran out, the game was over immediately. So we had to run to try and get rid of those cards so that we could actually try and finish the game. So there's a lot of way that you can lose in this game. If the great old ones appears, you have to fight him, and if you lose, he devours you, depending on the great old one. Some of them just win immediately once they appear. If the mythos deck runs out, you lose the game that way. There's cards, like I said, that can cause you to lose the game if conditions are met. You can die in this game, but it doesn't mean you're out. You just kind of respawn as a new investigator. So a lot of stuff going on in this game. If it sounds like I kind of briefly went over everything, it's because it'd be impossible for me to go over in depth everything involved in this game. And I got to say, it's one of my favorite games right now. I'm really enjoying it. I wish I could play it more. That's the only downside, is I don't really get to play it because it's so long. It is a very long game. You're going to at least need 3 hours just to play through this game. And, you know, like I said, it takes a while to set up, so maybe I could cut down some time by getting more prepared on setup. But this is a long game. That's one of the downsides. So if you're looking for short and quick games, you're not going to want Eldritch Horror by any circumstance. From what I heard, it's a lot shorter than Arkham, but not by much. And so that is all. That's what I've got. I really like this game. I like the lore of it. I like the pieces and just the feel of the game, where you just feel like that, you know, everything's against you. You're having to work with your team, your other players, to try and fix stuff and make sure everything, and like you're springing, or you're fixing one leak and three more spring on the other side of the board, and you're just like, I can't do this. And everything's just going crazy. And I for some strange reason, I seem to like that. So that is Eldritch Horror by Fantasy Flight Games. I just want to remind everybody that this podcast is a part of the Dice Tower Network. Do me a favor and make sure you go check out some of the other great shows that talk about board gaming in much different and better ways, probably, by going over to dicetowernetwork.com.
No, this is a role-playing game. It takes place entirely in our collective imagination.
It's been a while since we've talked about my 4th edition game, so I thought we'd jump back to that. And last time, I had talked about one of the best games of D&D I played, where the heroes had ended up getting teleported to this city of elves, where supposedly this library of knowledge was supposed to be that could answer a lot of their questions. Well, they start out arriving at the Elvish City, and they look around and the city's just dead. There's nobody around. It's very eerie. It's very quiet. They start getting suspicious. They go to investigate this kind of central area, and there's a statue there that's in this pose that's looking like it's holding out something, but there's nothing on the statue. Their guide that is taken there shows up that this is the statue of the goddess Ayun, and this is where the library is not an actual place. The library is an artifact that bestows knowledge upon worthy individuals, and it's missing. It's supposed to be on the statue, and it's not there. And they see that there's definitely some sort of struggle. There's been some footprints leading up to this, another one of those arcane gates that they can tell has recently been activated. The wizard manages to do some detect magic, and along with everybody else, manages to reopen the gate to where it went last time. And they end up going to this kind of otherworldly area where there's kind of flow, where they enter this other dimension where it's just kind of floating rocks everywhere all around this center area. And in that center area, they see this huge, ginormous dragon sitting there who's just kind of like watching over everything. And they're on this small, tiny floating asteroid that's kind of orbiting around this huge dragon. And they find that there's the places filled with other dragons and smaller dragons that look similar to ones they fought way in the beginning of the campaign. And they brought to this temple where they see that all the elves are kind of being held captive. They try and barter their way in past some of the guards, and the guards like, okay, sure. But then they come to find out that the guards have led them in because they're needed for this sacrifice. And so they end up fighting everybody in this temple. They end up managing to defeat them, releasing the elves, and everyone kind of makes a run back for the gate. And as they make it back for the gate, the big, huge dragon kind of bellows, and he's like, the time has come. You can't defeat me. And the time for my ascension has arose. And they see all these portals everywhere opening up, and all these dragons just kind of pouring out into the city. And so everyone kind of craps their pants and then quickly dives into the portal to head back to the Elvish City so they can figure out what's going on. So that was pretty much the gist of it. This was definitely where I started learning that I need to work on my combat skills. And I need to be a little bit more open-ended with things. Like, they were wanting to go do other things. I was like, no, you should go over here and do that thing. And they're like, we want to do this. I'm like, well, you can't. And so that was kind of closed-minded of me, but there were things that I should have thought about, because I know the group well enough to know when they were going to want to do stuff like that. So that was my that role-playing game. The next one, which I guess we'll talk about next time, is definitely where I took a lot of these lessons and really started to apply them. So stay tuned for the next episode. And I'll really start to see probably not my favorite game, but probably one of the better ones I've run, or one of the most enjoyable ones. So we'll talk about that next time.
Magic the Gathering. All you need to play is a brain, a deck, and a friend.
I don't have a whole lot to talk about in the Magic the Gathering section because I haven't had a chance. We've been so busy around here, and the way things have lined up that Chloe and I have not gone to play Cons of Tarkir or played in a draft or in a sealed tournament. I've just played a couple of small games. I really hate that my standard deck is no longer standard, or my deck that was standard is no longer standard. And that's kind of where I'm at with Magic, is that I need a new standard deck, but I don't know what. I'm kind of stuck. I need to make a new standard deck so I could play against Chloe, and, you know, there's a game day coming up and all sorts of things, but I just don't know where to start. Like, I know I talked about making Mardu, but now I've been thinking about it more, and do I want to make a Mardu or to make more to do Jeskai? Because I seem to do a lot of the control and burn. But then it's like, I don't have a whole lot, you know, just looking at the cards I have, and it's like, what can I make? Because I don't want to buy a whole lot, because I don't want to put a whole lot of money into this deck. I'm not going to play too much, but I don't want it to be stupid. So I'm just really at a loss with this standard deck. And so I've been kind of putting it away and not thinking about it too much. But next week, I really need to sit down and start making my standard deck. So if you've got any tips on what I can do to kind of get over this hump, please send them to me, because I really, really would like I'd really like to get past this. And I definitely would need some inspiration. If any of you guys have listened to the shows, you kind of get a gist of how I play. And if you've got some ideas, send me an email and let me know what you guys think. And I'll make sure to try and get in some Magic actual tournament stuff between now and next time to talk about it and get some actual content. Maybe not so much just talking about me, but some other stuff involving Magic the Gathering. But that's all we got this time. It was a really quick run together episode, but definitely wanted to make sure I got something out on time for you guys this week. So that's all I've got. So I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. This podcast is an Obsessive Comics Disorder production. Make sure you head over to OCDcast.com for other great videos and podcasts, such as the main OCD podcast where we make fun of games, comics, and all the other geeky things we obsess over. And I have a brand new podcast I just recorded right before recording this one that I'm tentatively calling DVR Disorder, where I talk about TV shows that I'm into and the geeky TV shows I'm into. It's very early phase. It's very rough, not very well, or, you know, just kind of me shouting at a wall kind of thing. But make sure you check that out over at OCDcast.com and give me some feedback. Let me know about that as well. If you'd like to contribute to the show, send me an email with what you're playing to feedback@wardsandswords.com. On Twitter, you can also find me as @ChrisTheProf or on Facebook as facebook.com/obsessivecomicsdisorder. If you want to see more visual pictures of what I'm playing and the kinds of things I'm into, make sure you go check out my Instagram as well. It's ChrisTheProfessor, and you can see I usually post up pictures of everything I'm playing. So that is all I've got for you guys this week. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for stopping by. Hope you're enjoying all the new games that are coming out from the various conventions. I'm going to try and see if I can snag a couple of them sometime and try and play them. But in the meantime, I'm Chris Renshaw. Thank you for listening to this episode, and go out and play more games. And I will see you next time.